handle the truth.
I'm Jim Price with Jim Price Show Daily Update. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is August 21st. It's a Monday, 2023. Well, guys, as we go through our days, we know that we are seeing the lies. I am kind of impressed with how many of us have actually been able to see through the BS without having to really be led to that trough of water, right? You guys are seeing the Maui fires. You're seeing the hurricane. You're seeing the fires. You guys are seeing the COVID thing coming up, the iris or iris or irarius, whatever it is. But we also know that we're getting ready to go into a time of the lunar cycle, of the planetary cycle of things, that we're going to go into the time of Aries. It happens to be the next COVID variant, the coronavirus, that whole thing, that fart in the wind. Well, the next variant just happens to be the exact same name as the next lunar cycle we're going to in the astrological clock of things. So don't worry about that. That's just fine. September 23rd, you know, we go into that new cycle, but it happens to be about the exact same time that they've already predicted that we'll be in full lockdown. So sometime in September, you guys might as well just, I got to find some masks to sell you people because I need to make money on this go around. You guys were pretty big dummies on the last one. So I want to make sure that I get my mask concentrations up. I want to make sure I get about a bazillion of those. And so I can turn around and sell them to you guys. I need to catch up. I really do. I think everybody else, Bezos and everybody else, made billions of dollars. Why can't I? And I think you guys should be the perfect victims for that, right? No, we're not going to do this anymore. But anyway, so the lunar cycle, Aries, yeah, you're the ass, whatever. That's coming. The Maui fires was all about making sure that Oprah doesn't have neighbors, and the eminent domain too will come flying in there for some reason, because now they'll say, well, we can't authorize a new permit for you to rebuild the home on the existing lot you have, so sell it to us and we'll give you ones of dollars for it, and that'll be fine. And then the hurricane that was supposed to wipe off LA off the map, which, Lord, please, baby Jesus, let's do it. It just flooded out Phoenix and Vegas instead. That didn't go well. That wasn't what was supposed to happen. I thought we were supposed to get rid of California. Oh, they got the earthquake instead. They said, well, you know what? We don't have hurricane decorations up, so can we do earthquake? And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give you an earthquake instead. So LA got a 5.1 or 4.1 or whatever it was to make the dishes shake a little bit. That's fine. Don't worry about that. That's it. That's normal. No, it's not. Guys, this is what they're doing out there. We do see that Trump canceled his plans for the release of all the evidence today. But then also, as soon as he announced that he was not going to be releasing the evidence at midday today, the hurricane diverted itself and went from a Schedule 4 down to a Schedule 1 or Tier 1 or Tier 4 or who gives a crap. I'm here to sell you some auto repair insurance, whatever. I mean, it's all lies, right? It just all make-believe. Guys, I want to also ask you a quick question. Have any of you guys fell for the Nigerian email? I mean, is that still a thing? Because we're still doing COVID, so I thought I'd ask you guys how that all works with the Nigerian prince. This is what's going on in the world around you. I kind of rambled on a little bit. I don't mean to, but I do have a special guest with me today, and I need to get him. He's already there. Let's get him there, right there. Boom. You're only going to get about half of me here in a minute. No, I'm coming in. So I do have a special guest with me, James. I do appreciate you being here, sir. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Can you introduce yourself and tell us where we can find you?
Yeah, James Matthew, last name, surname, surf name, serpent name, whichever one you want to use is Tyres.
Right.
Live in Detroit. Have done for the last 27 years. And got introduced to you by our friend Megs, and I believe she enlightened you a little bit on the story that has been my story for the last few years, and yeah. You were interested in that.
Definitely. Now, so what? I mean, you're going to have to spill the beans. I'm not a mind reader, but I do know what's the story. Tell us how it all started for you. Tell us where tell me where the bad government touched you. All right, so walk us through that whole process. So,
That sounds quite strange, really.
yeah, well, we got well, so does Joe. So it's all part of the deal. So we
Yeah.
got Joe in there. You might as well feel uncomfortable as well.
So basically, from 2019 onwards, just to give you a little bit of backstory, I basically went from losing my business. I was involved in a career for 30 years. I was in professional sport and coaching. 2019, I put my business into bankruptcy. Went through to 2020, and obviously the scandemic started. In July of 2020, I got diagnosed with a rare blood illness, central nervous illness caused by dental malpractice. So I had a very minor stroke in my doctor's office, and he said, "We need to sort this out, or you're going to die." So we started along that path. And at the same time as getting my treatment, which was all natural, I went and received some ozone treatment.
Right.
And the doctor gave me a script not to engage in the masks or the face nappies or whatever muzzle you want to refer to as. So I went to my local supermarket and showed them the script, talked to the manager, and she had no problem with it. They had no problem. Fast forward 6 months to December 23rd, 2020, and I went to do my Christmas groceries. And during my rounds around the store, some employees and some patrons were extremely abusive and threatening. I don't take kindly to being threatened, but for some reason I was a bit more passive that day. It's probably because I just had a treatment prior to going to the store. And so it quietened down. I didn't engage with them too much, finished my groceries, and I went to the front of the store and I saw two store employees. One was a volunteer community police officer, one was a regular store employee. And I informed them of the situation that had occurred and just very pleasantly said, "Look, this is not acceptable. Nobody really knows what's going on. We can't have this sort of behavior. I'm a big boy, I can handle it, but there's other people, there's women, there's children, young mothers, there's the elderly with their own health conditions that are not being considered, and this is not the way to be." They agreed. They called the Detroit police because the particular strip mall where the store was, the police patrolled that particular strip mall. So they were supposed to come in and take a report from me, and I could either file a complaint with them, I could file it in my local police station, or I could go to the headquarters in Detroit. What proceeded to happen was not any of that. It was basically a very short conversation, which was two people turned up while I was engaged in conversation with the two employees. I didn't realize they were police officers at the time because they came on the side of me. One of them, and this is verbatim, screamed at me, "Put a mask on, put it on now." I looked and just basically informed them I had an exemption. These guys knew about it. Then they screamed at me, or the individual screamed at me, "Get your hands out of your pockets, do it now," because I had one hand on my trolley and one hand in my pocket.
Right.
So I looked again, and that's when I realized that they were police officers. And I said, "Okay, I didn't realize there's a law against doing your groceries with your hands in your pockets." I was then screamed at again, "Put a mask on, do it now. It's the law, get it on, do it now."
Wow.
And so I looked at him again and I said, "Look, I've got an exemption. I have a rare life-threatening illness. These guys know it. The store knows it. The manager knows it. You've been informed. It's not the law. It's a mandate. And it was repealed in April 2020. Don't know what all the aggression and anger are about, but I'll go file my complaint somewhere else." I took one step with my trolley and one of the police officers grabbed my arm here and I put my hands up and said, "Please take your hands off me now. I don't consent. I don't contract. I don't understand you. What crime's been committed?"
Right.
They repeated that several times because they wouldn't take their hands off me. And so, after numerous times of stating it, I pulled my hands out of the way and they proceeded to basically what I'd call bundle me, assault me. I had a big winter coat on, so my hood came over my head.
Right.
I basically knew I was going to get a beating. So I went, I practiced martial arts and boxing. So I went to the most defensive, non-aggressive position, which was across my arms and my legs. And they proceeded to beat the shit out of me. About 10 or 12 police officers all told, inside the supermarket, smashed my head in the concrete,
right.
Put the knee in the back of my neck a couple of times to stop me breathing, shot me with a taser three times, pulled me off to jail, put right. me in a, excuse me, in the detention center for 3 days. All 3 days were in isolation with no proper food or water, no medical attention. And then I was put in front of a criminal in a
black
robe. Let
me ask you a question real quick. When you were sitting there in that jail cell, tell me how society was better served, or were you being taught a lesson?
Oh, I was absolutely being taught a lesson. It wasn't anything to do with society or betterment of society.
Right.
I'm sure we'll get into it. It's a criminal system.
Right.
From top to bottom. That's all it is.
Well, and see, the sad part of it is we've incentivized it through, and I try to educate people on the backside of a lot of what things happen. Your local PD, your policy officers, are incentivized through the union to make sure that they acquire a certain amount of arrests, certain amount of detentions, certain amount of speeding tickets, because then they get to check mark for their next raise. So they get the check marks for their next promotion. And the unions say, well, hey, if my boy writes 20 tickets a month for 2 years, then obviously he's worth promoting. And the sad part of it is it's not on actual merit. It's actually on quote-unquote performance. So they're incentivized to do as many arrests and many takedowns as possible. If they deploy their taser, they get to write a disorderly conduct for the guy. They get trespass. Think of all the little things, the check boxes they get to check box because you bothered to stand there and say, hey, I can't deal with it. I'm not doing your guys' thing. I have a medical exemption. You should respect that. But those people are now working on getting a promotion, basically off of you trying to stand there and say, hey, I'm not going to play your game. And I did this. I had the Menards store manager walk me all the way from the back of the store to the front of the store, and I called him every prize name I knew in the book. I was like, you're killing people. You don't know what you're doing. You don't understand. Yeah. Like, I'm not wearing your mask. I'm not going to be a part of it. You know, and I had, you know, maybe $100 or $200 worth of stuff that I was buying at the time. But for him, it was far more valuable to make sure that I was escorted out. He's like, well, if you just put a face shield on, I'm saying, I'm not doing anything. You're not telling me what I can and cannot put on my body. And this is where, again, we found out who the normies are, who the compliant ones are. And the sad part of it is, even though you don't have to be categorized by that because of your medical exemption, it's like, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm trying not to die right now. And so sad part of it. Anyway, so continue on to your story. So they decide to haul you off. They put you in solitary type confinement for what, 3 days? Is that right?
Yeah, I was in the detention center for 3 days, 23 hours a day. Basically, the food is because of the illness that I have is basically bacterial and parasitical based. So any food that's highly processed is going to make me very sick. So I couldn't eat any of the food. Excuse me. And they don't give you water. They give you juice boxes.
Oh,
and the juice
yeah.
boxes,
yeah.
They have I'm sure you know, they have a particular ingredient to stop men getting a particular way.
Yeah.
So I didn't drink any of that. There were a couple of sheriffs that let me out at intervals during the day to use the water fountain. And the nurse didn't want to, she understood my illness. She didn't want to mess with it because both her and a couple of the sheriffs believed that I would just be released before the 72 hours.
Right.
That didn't happen. And it's clear that after the fact, it's clear what they were doing because they got themselves in so much trouble and created such a big mess.
Yeah.
So I was hauled in front, I was put in a cell on my own, no blankets or anything like that. I just literally laid on the floor. The toilet and the sink, the stainless steel toilet and sink that was in there, and the floor was all covered in feces and grime and dirt, and whatever you want to call it.
Right.
They put me in took me to a cell to after on the day after Christmas, they took me to meet a agent or detective, He walked me across the courtyard into an interview room. I said the same thing to him, that I don't understand, don't contract, don't what crime's been committed. So I've got nothing else to say. He folded his book, took me back across the courtyard. Off the record, he expected them to release me. I got put in front of a judge then the next day, and it was only a few hours before the 72 hours was up. I had a mask put on me. The criminal in a black robe never addressed me, never spoke to me. Nobody else spoke to me. They looked from side to side. She handled a bunch of papers and basically said, it looks like him. It sounds like him. It potentially is him. So it's going to be him.
Right.
And they said $10,000 bond, 10%. They hauled me off to the Detroit County Jail, where I spent the next 3 days in isolation again, no water, no medical attention. And I'll just say on the record, at different times of the places that I was in, there were both sheriffs or law enforcement officers and inmates that gave me some of their stuff, i.e. access to water, or they would give me their milk carton or orange juice carton. And so I was given something.
Right.
And that was both sides of the coin. So I just want to put that out there, that there was actually some people in there who were respectful of the situation and did what they could within their realms. So I was held for another 3 days in isolation. They did the COVID scam test and took blood. I got into it with the doctors and the nurses there and called them out for the criminality. And they were shocked at the things that I stated about the lack of any isolated virus in the world, along with some other scientific data that I gave them. And I gave them all the references as well. Yeah. And I said, you need to go and look it up, because if not, you're going to be complicit.
Right.
So that all took place. I was then put in general population for 3 more days. Now, what now, I wait, came
have
to
you
find
ever,
out...
At this point, had you gotten your probable cause statement? Because aren't you required within 48 hours of being served with the papers you're being with that shows the charges you're being charged with?
I had nothing. There was nothing.
That's it right there. That is a basic arrest procedure, that once you are detained, the clock starts the moment they detained you in the grocery store. No. In the grocery store, that clock starts then. So they have 48 hours, according to the state law, to release to you a probable cause statement showing this is why we believe you were arrested, and these are the charges or the crimes that we are charging you with. That was required by law. And by the way, they can't hold you more than 48 hours without having charged you with a crime. So had you been charged at this point?
No, I'd only seen, I had such a big concussion. I'd seen the nurse in the detention center the first day when I went in there, and I saw the detective the day after Christmas.
Wow. So how many days total was that at that point?
I got taken in on the 23rd, about sometime around, I don't know, late afternoon, early evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the detention center the 23rd, 24th, 25th. And then it was the 23rd to 24th, 24th to 25th, 25th to 26th.
Right.
And then I was transferred at the end of the day, the 26th. It was actually the day before Christmas that the detective came to see me. And then I got transferred on the 26th, the day after Christmas, to the county jail.
Right.
3 more days. So none of what you're saying took place.
Well, that right there is grounds for a lawsuit and a dismissal of your arrest record, as well as any crimes they may have charged you with. They have that by procedure alone, if you have an attorney worth his salt, that should be fully discharged at this point.
Well, then... what I would say there, Jim, is perhaps you and I can have a private conversation over the subject matter, because there's so much more we're not going to cram into this show that's been involved. And there's specific reasons for me taking the time that I have and doing what I've done up to this point, because it's not just about me. It's what they did to me is criminal in itself. Right. But the whole premise behind it and what was done to especially the thousands of children that I've coached over my lifetime here in America.
Right.
Criminal you coached? And unacceptable.
What did you coach?
I coached football or soccer, as we say over here.
Yeah. Well, I was I'm a rugby player, so I played.
You're a rugby guy, right?
Yeah. I played till I was 46, up till 2015. Well, 2016. I We won the national championship in 2015, USA Men's Rugby team, Rugby Division Three, and so we were able to we won the championship here in Wichita. But I saw your Kiwi shirt you had on, so that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, it's my Canterbury shirt. I've got a couple of them, and I was a professional soccer player for 14 years, and I coached for 30 years. So that was the career I had that ended when I got diagnosed with my illness. I was pretty good at it, I guess. I won some unique things, and but the rugby, I always liked rugby. I had to play it in school. It was a punishment. They didn't give me detention and things like that. They made me play on the rugby team. I'd get black eyes and fat lips. And then my mum would give me a good hiding when I got home because she thought I was lying to her about getting in trouble, and I wasn't. I was playing rugby. So,
No, I get
but my
it.
nephew is a very good rugby player. He plays at the next tier down from the professional level in England. He's 19, so he's been playing Colts, and then he's just gone into the senior group. He's the best hooker in the family.
No, I was a hooker as well, so I filled that position and enjoyed it quite a bit. I have the shoulder that doesn't quite ever want to stay in joint or in the socket anymore because of it. But no, I always enjoy that. And the side outs and stuff like that, they're always the line outs were always fun. Good stuff, good challenges. All right, well, so as you're in jail, you spent Christmas in jail for not wearing a mask. Now, as you're in jail, were you wearing a mask while you were in jail?
Not inside the cells, but if they took you anywhere, they would force you to wear one. They were okay with me.
So
They,
you're,
I
let me
think.
ask you a quick question. I'm gonna be a little satirical here. So in your jail cell, was the air exchange inside your cell a viral protected air filtration system so that your contamination or other people's contamination in the air would not affect you? I'm just asking, if you're not wearing your mask in the cell, then obviously there's some type of viral load protection system, right? No.
Have you even heard about the Detroit County Jail?
No, I've been to jail. So, no, that if you guys
Yeah,
if you guys think the
it's
Humane Society is bad, if you ever been to the Humane Society and you saw the little dog sitting there, we don't
yeah.
even begin to treat human beings that well in jail. The dogs that are in dogs and cats that are in the Humane Society are treated better than human beings are treated in jail. And I will fight anybody who says that's different. They're like, "Oh no, our
Agreed,
jail's great."
100%.
No.
100%. It's a they're places of evil. Evil breeds evil in those places. Unfortunately, the people within the system, they don't know what's going on, the majority of them, if any of them at all. There's bad ones and there's good ones, just like there is in every walk of society. As I said a bit earlier, I have to be fair to some of the sheriffs and
There are some good
especially at
ones.
the detention center and the nurse. The nurse knew how serious my illness was, and she gave me aspirin for the concussion, but didn't want to deal with anything else because she knew how serious it was and felt that I was going to be released. And so did the couple of
But here's the
sheriffs.
thing, they caused the concussion, but they wanted you to be treated outside their care. See, they have confinement of you. They have 100% ownership of you while you're there. So that means 100% of your condition is 100% their fault and 100% their responsibility to fix. And for the fact that they were trying to get you out of there so you could go fix yourself, that's some chicken shit stuff right there. That right there, don't float my boat. That's no good. That tells me right there they knew it was wrong and they knew how that place was ran that they're not going to take care of you. Or what care you may get will probably just kill you.
They knew what was going on was wrong. They absolutely knew what was going on with the situation was wrong. I haven't got to the best bit yet about being in the jail, in the county jail. So I was in there for 9 days altogether, 8 nights, 9 days. It was like a getaway package that you get on Delta or something.
I always think about being isolated away from society for 8 days as a vacation. Oh yeah, it's great. Real Cozumel kind of experience, huh?
Pardon me?
I said it's a real Cozumel resort kind of experience in jail, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. So after the first couple of days in the county jail, I've been trying. One of my friends was trying to get me out and pay the bail bond so I could get out. And I came to find out that when I checked my wristband, they had booked me in as a 18-year-old black person. So
Well, I don't mind. I'm not trying to be racist, but you don't look black to me, sir. Or
No,
are you one of those Biden voters? If
I'd
you're
agree with you on that. I'd concur on that one.
not, unless you're a
Oh, but
Biden voter.
it gets
Sorry.
better.
Go ahead.
After I got released, and I'll just interject this bit in there, on the docket, and it's been there for 2.5 years, they've been trying to prosecute a 35-year-old black person born in 1987. And in the last court hearing, which was January 2022, among a couple of other things that I pointed out to the judge, or sorry, woman in a black robe, was to ask her if she could tell me the name, the age, the race, and the birth date of the individual they're trying to prosecute. And for the third time, she basically lost her shit, screamed at me on the Zoom camera, and said she didn't care, she wasn't bothered. She just looked at the name that was on the docket, and I was actually trying to get her to read it because you can't read that language because it's all symbolic. But she wouldn't, and she said she didn't care. And I said, "Well, I do, because it says 30 at the time. It said 34-year-old black person born in 1987," and I went like that and pointed to myself. Now she proceeded to mute the Zoom. She then proceeded to tell the court that I was clearly not the individual on the paperwork and kind of exonerated me. And then I asked the prosecutor how she wanted to proceed. And the prosecutor said, "Well, we don't need any witnesses because this is the misdemeanor that they're trying to prosecute. They've already kicked out the felonies that they tried to charge me with." But this is a whole, I've kind of jumped forward a bit, but
You're fine.
this is so yeah, they literally carried on, and basically she issued a warrant for the misdemeanor for failure to appear, even though I appeared, introduced myself as the authorized agent for the fiction on their paperwork, and had two witnesses watching while she basically committed fraud and a whole bunch of other felonies. So I kind of jumped from
No,
the jail
you're
to
doing great.
the sort of last kind of piece that took place in the actual courtroom. There's been other developments since then. And I didn't really cover the bit between getting out of jail and going to court the first time, but that kind of gives you a good sort of oversight of what happened.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, again, we're talking about situations that, okay, let's say you have a dog storage kennel, sleepaway, daycare thing, and you were giving them juice boxes and not water. You were leaving them in cages by themselves until their owner came and got them, and then you would muzzle them as they took you took them to, I mean, think about all the different things that you went through, and say, would you have been able to do that to an animal without being charged with a felony? And yet they treat human beings like that. And one of the comments you made earlier was, it's like the worst of the worst. And I make the comment, guys, how do we expect people to come out of jail better when all you do is pile shit into a 5-gallon bucket, you put a spigot on the bottom of it, and you turn the valve on, and you expect sweet honey to roll out of there? You cannot concentrate shit into a situation like that and expect people to be better. It doesn't work that way.
Agreed. And it wouldn't be so bad, but I'll just put this out there and we can get into it if you want to. But it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't all fraud in the first place.
Oh,
And
you want to
the
talk about the
fact that
Corporation of
there's not a
America?
single name on any court paperwork that is a name of an individual, man or woman, and all of the people involved in the Bar Association and all attorneys are all acting fraudulently as well. And I'm going to put this out there because I've kind of had a gut full of people not addressing the real core issue. When Bar Association stands for British Accreditation Registry, and all of the attorneys are licensed through that corporate private members association, and their oath of office is to that entity, that by default, they are not swearing an oath to the people of the United States of America, nor are they practicing it. And if you go and look at their oaths, and I've got all the documentation for it, and it's very simple. Every oath of office for every public official at every level, federal, state, county, city, is illegitimate. They're written under the incorrect statutes, rules, acts, and regulations. and they're all written in fraudulent language because they're mixing two languages and claiming that they're one, which is fraud in the first place.
But isn't there a sequence of isn't there a I was going through with a guy. Isn't there a way that the words are written in a succinct pattern that makes it legal or not legal? Isn't there like a rhythm to the language or rhythm to the lettering in it or something like that? Is that right? Isn't there? I'm with you on the corporation of 1871, so I'm completely on board. But there was a portion of it where the numerology was actually part of the law language as well. Is that right?
I wouldn't dispute that the numerology is in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And even the breakdown of the singular letters that make up certain words. But in its just in its basic format, the all capitalized language is sign language. It's American Sign Language. It says so in the Chicago Manual of Styles, both in the 16th and the 17th edition. And it's a symbolic text. And they're mixing it with English, which is a descriptive text. There is no joinder between the languages. It's not codified. Mm-hmm. It's not contractually obligating yet. All of their contracts are written in it through the Bar Association. And it's for fraud. It is to commit fraud. The words don't have the same meaning. They have different meanings. When they box things in, the four-corner rule and all of these other things that come into play with grammar and text, they're all part of it as well. So, you know, none of their documentation is valid. I mean, talked to people over the last few weeks about the Trump indictments, and what's laughable is that it's not him, Donald John Trump, the man, on the documentation. It's a trust created from his birth certificate. Right. And the people who are bringing the indictments, they don't have the legitimate credentials to be bringing the indictments because they're all illegitimate officials.
Yeah.
So I don't know why people like him and others at that sort of exposed level and not calling out the Bar Association for what it is. It's a private members association practicing private law with a private, somewhat, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, making up your own language, putting French and German together and saying, this is our language for Jim and James.
Yeah.
And it's all run out of the private city of London. So call them out about it. You know?
Well, yeah.
It'll end things very quickly.
So a lot of people don't know this, but understand like what we're talking about is a secured party creditor or understanding that you are the secured party to the creditor, meaning you are the bank or the ownership of the fictitious that's in full capital letters on your birth certificate and social security card. Your birth certificate has one to two separate IDs or numbering on there that you can actually look up and find the value of your stock. You could then go to your social security card and look on the front and the back of that. The front number, you seem to know that one by heart, right? Well, that was never supposed to be used as identification, but that is actually your stock number, your chattel number. You are an asset to the corporation. And then on the back of it, it's another bond number as well. And so people, and then when we're talking about the British Accredited Register, the black robe judges, which used to wear white wigs and up until 1913, where we took those white wigs off because we did not want to show the representation between the Crown and the Corporation of America. So what we're talking about here is you taking control of yourself and who you are and what you are, because when they call your name in court, they're calling out the corporation. They're calling for the corporation and its representation in there. Now, probably what Trump is doing, which I don't think he's a dummy, but he's probably got his people in there doing the corporate part, and that's why they can't arrest him. That's why they're not able to process him, because it says do not arrest, do not detain on his background. That's probably what the difference
is. It's my understanding he's protected under trust as well, private trust.
Yeah. So I'm guaranteed, they've all got layers of trusts and corporations and, you know, different things that own different parts of things. And so he doesn't have any ownership of anything. He owns it all, but it doesn't own him. He is the owner of the fictitious. So, no, you're absolutely right. So that's great that you came together with that. Now, how did you stumble across this? Your guy that's from across the pond, how did you come across the secure party creditor part?
So, I mean, I've come across a lot of stuff, including that. I mean, that term, it's, as you alluded to, it's secured party to your credit. The term has just been joined together through, you know, I guess, ease of trying to explain to somebody. But you're a secured party to your credit, not a secured party creditor. But
yeah,
I was brought up So I grew up in England. I was brought up on a council estate or a housing estate, like the projects. I was, as my mum would say, I was good at kicking a bag of wind around a field. So that got me out of the projects. And I moved to America when I was 23, mm-hmm. in the mid-90s, 96. And so we'd been brought up, both my brother and I had been brought up in that environment in the UK during the 70s and 80s. Everything was common law, especially with the locals and you know, I guess, you know, regular people in that type of, you know, low-income families in that type of environment.
Right.
Everything was about common law. You don't hurt somebody, you don't harm somebody, you don't trespass somebody. That's it. We were always warned about judges, attorneys, bankers, and insurance guys.
Right. Are your parents still alive?
Yes.
You need to tell them, you need to go over there and kiss their feet. Because you learned this as a kid. Is that
right? Yeah. Oh, I do. I tell them all the time.
Wow.
They told us when we were kids, if you ever get stuck in a room with you know, anyone from the clergy or the attorneys or any of that lot on your own and you're a kid, you kick them in the nuts and you run.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were taught they're no good. And that's obviously not all people. And I'm not generalizing that people in those industries are all bad people.
Right.
But that's just how we were brought up. The other interesting thing, talking about my parents. So I have my original short form birth certificate that was given to my mum from the hospital.
Right.
And my mum gave both myself and my brother our short form birth certificates when we were 18. And she said, "This is the most important document you'll ever have in your life." And we said, "Well, what is it?" And she said, "It's your receipt that you were born." And she didn't know what she was saying at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But just to allude on what, or you know, go a bit further on what you were saying about the birth certificate, social security number, setting up, they have these trusts that are created from that name. On the short form certificate, it is a certificate of title. And I'm sure, as you know, a certificate of title, you are the holder in due course if your name is on it.
Yeah.
Except there's two names on the short form, and that's separated by the grammatical use of two spaces, as well as the Christian name and the corporate house or family or regional name.
Yeah.
So you can see very clearly on short form birth certificates that the individual, as in myself, yourself, and anyone else that has a birth certificate,
right,
you're not the individual on the birth certificate. You're the holder in due course of being the beneficiary of that trust.
Okay, so now wait, hold on a second. You grew up your entire life knowing this.
Not all of the details that I've just told you, but
a pretty good landing strip to go off of. I just learned about most of this like 3 years ago. I understood there was something wrong, but I didn't get the corporation. I knew the corporation part. I knew all those things, but I didn't have all the secure party creditor part of it. But I'm jealous, man.
Well, I never had that as a kid. We never had any of that stuff as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
We were just told stay away from it. It's their own world.
Right.
It's their own private world. You know, we were told to grow up with common law. That's just how we were always taught to be.
Right. No, that's
so. Yeah. So and people can check the birth certificate and read the short form. And if they go read Minnesota Rule 220, they'll see in that rule, it's very clear in what it says in the language. It talks about the holder. If you identify yourself through a sworn affidavit mm-hmm. as one of the owners of the certificate of title,
right,
which clearly you are. So obviously one of the owners being plural. The other one is the government, because mum was the grantor of the trust. The government was the trustee in order to set up the trust for the benefit of yourself, which is the perfect God creation.
Yeah.
And the actual name on the birth certificate, the full name, the Christian name with the family name, is the name that they gave the second born alive after birth.
Really?
That's what it means.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and again, this is something that I've actually been working on. I've done a lot of paperwork. I've worked with the people don't know, realize we have a treasury in Puerto Rico. We have one in New York. We have it in Washington, D.C. So there's a lot of treasuries that we have to do a lot of work with, because remember, it's all bound through corporate law and money and the tie into money. So If you guys want to know any more about this, I have a great system, and I don't have it personally. I have an individual who has a great system, and they actually pull your birth certificate out of the Bank of London. They go all the way to England and then pull you out of that as the corporate entity, the worldwide corporate entity, not just so much that what you do here, yep. But it gives you that universal effect. And a lot of people don't realize that I've tried to explain to them about Hillary Clinton and why she still walks among us. Whether that is whether that's factually her or not, I have no idea. Whether she was executed back in 2016, like I thought she was, or whether that's her, but that Hillary Clinton had diplomatic immunity. She had her paperwork, processed down. She had perfected her paperwork, is what they call it, and that's a legal term as well. Having perfected your paperwork, yep. So. Anyway, so that's why we see a lot of that out there where people are like, oh, why is she still walking around, or why is this and that? I'm like, guys, it's all corporate law, man. Unless you're in the cool kids club, you're not going to understand. So, it's just all part of the deal. All right. Well, hey, so what's going on with your case? I mean, I'll get back a little bit. So we got a couple of minutes here. Yeah. So what's going on with your case? Are you going back to trial, or are they just.
Between December 2020, when I first got arrested, and August 2021, so when I got let out on the 31st in the late afternoon, and I was in pretty bad shape. I was struggling, just not eating. I mean, right. When I was in there, I think I had, over 9 days, I had 7 sandwiches, a wow. couple of bags of cookies, and about 5 pints of water, 3 pints of milk, and a couple of pints of orange juice. That's what I had in about 9 days. Yeah. So I was very sort of dehydrated. I was undernourished, whatever. So I rented an attorney because they set an arraignment for 2 days, 3 days after, I think. Right. It was the middle of the following week. But when they let me out, they didn't let me out with any of my belongings. They basically claimed that New Year's Eve was a holiday. I thought New Year's Day was a holiday, but they claimed New Year's Eve was.
Okay.
And that they had no staff to release your personal belongings to you when you were...
Then how do they take it from you if you get arrested on New Year's Eve? If they can take it away from you on New Year's Eve, they can give it back to you on New Year's Eve. I mean, exactly. Same people,
exactly. So I had to wait till Monday to get my belongings,
right.
To be able to go, because that was my phone, to be able to get a number of a defense attorney that I knew,
right.
So I rented him, and I remember the first words I said to him. I went and saw him on the Tuesday. New Year's Eve was a Thursday. I went and saw him on the Tuesday the following week. Gave him the details. The arraignment was the next day. And obviously, I know what arraignment means and I know what they were trying to do, but I had to try and deal with the situation as best I could. And I flat out told him, I do not answer to a slave name. If you don't tell the judge that, then there's going to be problems. He said, look, they're going to put you in front of a camera. Nobody's going to ask anything. They're not even going to speak to you. They're going to set a date for in the future. And I thought, all right, it's sort of my best option to deal with it. But he basically said, once that's done, we'll subpoena all of the videos, we'll get everything on video, webcam, and if obviously what you're saying is true, which it clearly is, because I'd be a fool not to lie about it, considering there's probably 20 to 30 cameras at least in the store.
Yeah.
So he said it'll come back and you'll have a massive lawsuit against them. What proceeded to happen was 8 months of them not providing any of the videos, webcams, or anything else. Wow. Me getting more edgy with the attorney. And we end up going to court the 5th of August, I think it was, 2021. And they were trying to charge me with felonies and misdemeanors, assaulting police officers and the whole rest. So obviously none of it was true, and it was all caught on video that it wasn't true.
Right.
They claimed in the police reports that they provided all of the video. They never did. We went to court. So I did a bunch of research for the first few weeks leading up to the case, the court date. And basically, I told the attorney, you're going to tell the judge and the prosecutor, they're the trustees. I'm the beneficiary of the Sester Cave Bay Trust. There's no value in it. All charges to be dismissed, and you have to collapse that trust. So if you don't tell her that, I'll tell her myself.
Right.
So for the 8 months previously, I'd been going down to the court continually trying to get in there and talk to people in the court and say, you better not be bringing this. And I didn't know anything about how the system worked, really.
Yeah. Right.
So I kept seeing the captain and the lieutenant of the court. And it got to the point where I'd sort of made a good friendship with them in regards to a professional level.
Right.
And so they were aware of everything that was going on. So anyway, I got the lieutenant out that day to witness everything, and I took a witness with me. I never went into the courts. I refused because they were trying to enforce the criminal mandates.
Right.
I even told the captain that it was a felony to deny a man the ability to go into a public courthouse and deal with his administration.
Right.
And he actually, he agreed without agreeing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the attorney goes into the court, and this is, like I said, the beginning of August, so it's Detroit, it's about 85 degrees, he goes in, he's in there about half an hour, and I'd given him specific instructions. And he came out, and he said in front of the lieutenant and my witness, it's all dismissed. So I was talking to the lieutenant, and the attorney was, it was a bit weird because he was really sweaty, and he was panting. And I remember saying to my friend, why is he out of breath and all sweaty when he's been in air conditioning for half an hour or so? So we're out here in the sun. So anyway, he got all agitated and called me over. I said, I thought you said it was dismissed. He said, we've got to go on the Zoom call. I said, all right. I said, but if they ask me what my name is, you know what I'm going to tell them. So he pulls his phone out and he puts his phone on the parking meter outside the court. There's people all around us. And when he goes into the court, Zoom court, and the woman in a black robe says, is the defendant there? And he says, yes. And there's people all around me, and I'm just looking. We know it's imaginary anyway.
Right.
So she dismisses the felony and then says, I'm not sure on the rules for the misdemeanor. I'm not sure on the rules of the misdemeanor court. And that's when I'm, all right, I'm getting stitched up here. He stitched me up because of his friends.
Right.
So I kind of knew what was going on then. So I did it the way I did it. And she carried over the misdemeanor to be heard by the misdemeanor court. Now, then she clicked it off. It was done. And I called him out and I said, what's that all about? He said, it's just paperwork. They won't follow through. About 10 days later, he called me and said, oh, they're going to press charges on the misdemeanor. I obviously lost it with him, went through a conversation with him that was very heated and kept calling him out saying, you can't make two cases out of one case. It's double jeopardy. They were the same case. And he was trying to charge me to defend again for a case that shouldn't be there. So I basically called him a thief and see you next Tuesday. It's not basically, I did. I called him a thief and see you next Tuesday.
Right.
And he put the phone down. So I then contacted a group in the UK that's like an organization that knows about this stuff that we've talked about.
Right.
And I spoke to an individual there, and they gave me access to their library, their back-end library. And I went through it, and I studied for a couple of weeks, about 20 hours a day. And so I prepared affidavits of truth for the judge and the prosecutor and the clerk of the court.
Right.
And they set a date for the 21st of August. I went down there. I assigned the lieutenant and the captain as witnesses. And I basically said the same thing that the attorney was supposed to say. You're right to discharge this. There's no value. You're the trustee, blah, blah, blah. When I went down and saw the lieutenant, I basically wasn't going to go in the court. I asked him to serve the papers. And he didn't want to serve a judge and a clerk with papers. So he said, will you please go on the Zoom and deal with it that way? So I did. I went on the Zoom. Judge asked my name. I said, my name is James Matthew, House of Tires, authorized agent of this. This is the trust. You're the trustee, she's the trustee, I'm the beneficiary, there's no value, you're to discharge it immediately. And she kept arguing about the name. And I said, look, I'm not here to argue with you. I've told you where you stand. And this went backwards and forwards a little bit. And I said, look, I've come down here today to settle this matter.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, you've been told how it's going to be. I came to serve you with papers. And if you don't discharge it, you will be served with an affidavit of truth. You will be served with a letter of intent. You will be served. And when I said served the third time, she clicked off and abandoned ship. So she lost, obviously.
Wow.
They set a date for October. I went on to the hearing. I went on that hearing. They refused to come on. The judge and the prosecutor wouldn't come on the Zoom call. They sent an attorney who said, I'm just passing on a message. I'm nothing to do with it. I said, if you're nothing to do with it, why are you here? Pass the message back that they need to come on here and discharge us. They didn't. So I draft, they set another date for January the 14th, 2022. I went and crafted a 128 page document claim of harm and trespass.
Right.
And I basically put all of the facts of the situation in there. I also put in a claim of who claim my property. Where's the contract from the individual? Where's the contract from the corporation? And then I put all of Dr. David Martin's medical stuff in there, the patents for the COVID scam, and a whole bunch of other stuff I put in there. I served it on him. I've got it all recorded with the post office each time I did something. I went to the hearing on the 14th, and obviously I told you that the judge kind of exonerated me at the end because I'd asked about reading the docket, which she wouldn't. But when she came on originally, she asked me my name, and I told her.
Right.
And she kept referring to Mr. Tyres, and I said, that's not my name. You know what my name is. We've spoken before. She said, I've never spoken to you. I don't know what your name is. And I said, so on August the 21st, 2021, when all of these events happened and you abandoned ship and it was all witnessed by the lieutenant and my witness, that none of that happened, did it?
Right.
And she replied with screaming at me. She didn't care if she lost her job. And I responded with, you're going to. Then I told her, she gave me a lecture on decorum. Then I said,
yeah, you're breaking procedure by not obeying.
With the claim. And she screamed at me some more and said, I didn't serve her with anything. She wasn't even in the court. And I basically responded with, you might not well have been there. You might have been on a plane, but I served you via the 36th District Court. I served the prosecutor and I served the clerk. And I said, lucky for the prosecutor, I served her at her private address as well. So she got it twice.
Wow.
I said, so it doesn't matter whether you received it or not. The post office says you did. Notice to agent, notice to principal, notice to principals, notice to agent. You got it. So I got muted again for the second time. And then the third time, that's when I said, can I ask you a question? And she said, yes. And I said, can you read for me the name that's on the docket? Because I wanted her to read it, because if she reads it, and I know from language and grammar that she's illiterate. And I will say this about all public officials. They are all illiterate because right. the language they're reading is not English. It's a mixed, non-codified right. language.
Yeah.
Period. It's yeah. irrefutable.
Codifying is actually part of that numerical part of it as well. Well, Jim, I'm going to get you out of here, buddy. I have been. This is great. We're going to talk some more. So I'm excited about our new found relationship here, friendship. We're gonna do some fun things here. I'm going to talk to you about stuff I know, and I'm going to listen to your stuff too, because I think this is the steps that we all should be mindful of. Remember, guys, we're living in a corporate entity, a maritime law. That's what the gold fringe flag is about, is that you are in a captive state. You're not actually free human beings. We can use the Constitution as much as we want, but until the court of public opinion puts us back into the court of record as a court administration, we're going to continue to feel like we're being abused, because they have no recourse to actually treat us properly. So that's why we see the things.
They're lawless, Jim. Yep. They're lawless. There is no law and order. And yep. I would just say this about my stuff. For anyone who's in a bad situation, you obviously have to research and do your due diligence, but you can challenge jurisdiction at any time. And for me, it was putting the brakes on the situation and stopping the situation so that I could come to learn and understand how I'm actually going to get remedy. Yeah. And remedy is years, not weeks and months, because of, let's not kid around. The only reason that they covered it all up is because it's in Detroit. It was inside a supermarket 2 days before Christmas. And ultimately, it shows the police beating the shit out of a 50-year-old white man for no reason.
And then calling
and
you black.
And they don't want that on the TV.
And then they called you black on top of it. So they're a bunch of racists. I'm being funny, but anyway.
Exactly. Like, so I would just say that if people are in a bad situation, it's obviously putting the brakes on it and challenging the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But it's then do your due diligence, because there can be remedy. I'm not saying it will be, but there can and there should be remedy at the end of it. But you really have to go down the rabbit hole to find it. And that's what I did, is put myself in a position so I could go learn from people like yourself and other people. Because as I said at the start, this is about not just me, this is about setting my case up so that anyone else who had harms done to them at the in the same way can use my case and go after these people as well.
Yeah. So well, that's we got to learn, right? We got to know how they're dealing with this. All right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for being here. Do we have a way to find you again, or what can we reach out to you if we want to talk?
I mean, you can at any time. You've got my personal email and my phone number, so yeah. I'd love to chat to you because I think that there's a lot of stuff we can uncover. I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a regular old ex-professional footballer that got beat up by the police and decided to do something about it. And, you know, I'm not on social media or anything like that at all. So
I understand, sir. All right. Well, we're going to get you out of here. And thank you so much for being a part of the Jim Price Show. And we'll get you back on again. All right.
Appreciate you, Jim. Thanks so much. Right. Take care.
We'll see you. Bye-bye. Well, what a great interview that was with him. And again, guys, this is the world you live in where they're using the rules of the game in a way that you don't even understand. That's what it's all been about. That's why you feel like you can never win. You feel like you can't get responses from the court. You can't get things you need is because they don't really care. They don't care that you got your name right. They don't care that you abuse you. I mean, just the idea of the probable cause statement in my own case. You know, three attorneys and a year later, they finally unseal and unredact my probable cause statement, which is required by law for me to receive within 48 hours of being detained. But we don't want to have that conversation. That's too easy. All right, guys. Well, remember, this is your world. This is what you should be battling for. You guys should be pushing back against these. And if we do, push back against this, we do fight for the constitutional republic that we should be, we will win. And but it takes effort. They're not just going to hand it over to us because it's a great idea. That's just how it works. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to get out of here. Remember the 10% we do for our neighbor, community, city, county, state, the federal government. The more you do for them, the less they have to do for you. Learn how to be selfless and not so damn selfish. There will be a far, far better place. Remember, hold the line. Hold fast. Do not give up. Do not give in. We will win. I promise. I don't make promises I can't keep. You guys have always been the answers out there, so don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. I will help you out with anything I have and anything I know. I will make sure to get you the right people. We are in this battle together. Be the difference makers out there, folks. So thank you so much for everything you're doing out there. John Kennedy and others out there donating to the show as that often as possible. John has been a really great patriot. Leanne Carroll as well, donating to the show. Bundy Cobb has been donating well as well to the show, real regular. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the Jim Price Show and the success. I will be traveling on Thursday night late, so I will be doing Monday through Thursday this week. Next week will be a full week because we have Labor Day weekend coming up. So I will be here Monday through Friday. So the next 4 days I'll be on, you know, today and the next 3 days I'll be on air. And then obviously next week as well. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here. I'm Jim Price, the Jim Price Show Daily Update. You guys all be good to each other out there, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.